All right. We are going to get through lesson seven today. I promise you. We will get through it. We have one more kind of long question, but then it's going to be pretty quick, because I think we've answered lots of those, several of these things in the previous questions. So we are on lesson seven in the position class. We are on question five, and why does God intend for us to see ourselves to the point where we will say, "O wretched man that I am"? So why does God intend for us to see ourselves to that point? I'll give you a couple scriptures just in advance to kind of give us a foundation for that. We can look at Romans 3, 10 through 18, and I can read it. I think this puts it somewhat in perspective than another scripture. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. "There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Kind of puts us in a perspective of the old man. And then Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Okay, so that kind of puts the Adamic or the self-life in perspective. So, now back to the question. Why does God intend for us to see ourselves to the point where we will say, "O wretched man that I am"?
Question.
Yeah.
Is this something that a non-believer is faced with, or a believer?
Only a believer. Only a believer. Because, you know, the thing is, all those verses that I read, they are that, but they don't know it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the amazing thing. And, you know, quite frankly, those of you who maybe came to be a believer later in life, did you ever think of yourself in this perspective before you were a believer? I was really rotten. Open grave is my throat, you know. I'm just a terrible person. That's what I thought of before, as I was cruising along before I got the gospel. No, you didn't. And so this is only for believers. As we look at our perspective from being a new creature in Christ, looking back at the old Adamic man, this is what it is. And so the question is, why does God intend for us to see ourselves to the point where we say, "O wretched man that I am," which is Romans 7, when Paul goes through that, and at the end, "O wretched man that I am." Why does he intend for us to do that?
That allows us to know how great he is.
Good. How great he is, but there are other points.
To stop trying to fix the old man, realizing you just can't do it.
Good. I think that's the key in Romans 7, is that trying to do it on yourself efforts. Anything else?
From the law of sin to the gift of grace.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. That two completely different systems. Okay? So he's entangled us in self-effort, in the self-effort of working to improve his condition, and is inevitably cast down to utter defeat. So this is really a key in the picture that we see in Romans 7 with Paul. He just, I know what I have to do. I want to do it. I'm trying all my... But this flesh just keeps going off on its own and doing its own thing. I know what's right, but I can't do it. So he gets to the end, and, "Oh, wretched man that I am, utter defeat." And think of where Paul is, too. I mean, all that Paul has experienced, his time with the Lord, all of the things he's done, and he's writing this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just a brand new believer here that is struggling with this. This is Paul. So he struggles with this, and the Lord brings him to that point where I'm trying it on my own. I can't do it. Oh, wretched man that I am. So if we don't come to realize practically how impossible it is to live the Christian life in and of ourselves, we will not allow Christ to live his life through us. So a lot of self-effort, a lot of things. We talk about when you go to the Christian bookstore, what do you see?
Self-helps.
How to? What's the next program? How can I fix myself up? How can I polish this cruddy flesh up to make it look more like a Christian? Is that going to get you anywhere? Oh, wretched man that I am. And you know, it's evident in a lot of people. They'll go through that and they crash. And they'll look for the next program, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And as I've said, I have a flat forehead. You know, before learning the identification, I hit the wall so many times too, trying all the different things. And that's why I go back to the identification truth being incredibly important. Because if you don't know that, you're always trying to improve the old man. And if you keep doing that, it's exactly what you'll come to the end. Oh, wretched man that I am. Can't do it. You can't do it. So, can this, in humanly speaking terms, be a painful process? Or is it just peaches and cream, skip down the highway, and it feels good?
Well, it wasn't for Paul.
No, it's not. This is, I think, one of the hardest things to really do. And as you look through the Hungry Heart, it's kind of been going through a lot of this. It's the exposing of the old man, which is the hardest thing. You know, we get a lot of the other gospel truths, but one of the hardest ones is seeing who we are in Adam and that there's nothing good in it. And to reckon ourselves dead and then alive unto God. So those are the keys.
It's also a long process, isn't it? It's not just an instantaneous thing. It takes years and years.
And I think you have to grow enough in the Scripture to be able to even to go through this process. Mm-hmm. You know, because the new believer, I don't think, you know, lay this on a new believer. I mean, it can happen. The Lord can work on a heart, and the longer we resist a lot of times, that process can drag out. But I think in a new believer, this is awfully hard to say just how bad you are in the old Adamic life. And that, you know, there's nothing good in it. And the best thing that happened was to be co-crucified on the cross. Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing for a new believer. It's the right thing, but I think it's a little bit harder. So I think the growing process, as you do this, I think as your union with Christ, And you understand what we're talking about in this whole class is your position. As you understand your position, going back, what is a position? Temporal?
No.
Does it change?
No.
That's the key. This whole class is about the position. These are eternal, non-changing. So, again, we got a little bit off track last week, I think, on the acceptance part, our position of acceptance. That's a truth that won't change. Because where are we placed? Into Christ. And that's where our acceptance is based. So that position will never, ever change. Okay? So, humanly speaking, it's a painful process. As the Holy Spirit applies the finished work of the cross to the sinful source within, the inner crucifixion may lead us to think God is against us. Have you ever thought that when you go through this process? Man, I am just a wicked, wicked thing. How could God love me? This hurts. Why is he letting me expose this? You ever thought God is just up there with a big stick? Just waiting to thump you? I think that's what a lot of people go through in the growing process. In this process, that's where it's painful. But understanding, that's why I kind of go back to those kind of pivotal truths for me is the God is in control of all things and he has an eternal love for you. If you understand that going through this process, even though it hurts, the basis is love, and he's trying to expose this so we don't rely upon the old man. Reckon it dead. Alive unto God. Reckon yourselves alive unto God. So I think it's a painful one, and a lot of times I think people do get the impression that God is against you when he starts exposing this stuff. And I think it does happen a lot of times as you are a believer for a long period of time, and you think you got this thing licked. And he begins to expose this. What did the Hal used to say? It's like peeling back an onion or something. Mm. You know, it's just keeps exposing. You think you got all the skin off the onion, and it's not. So it tends to be a process where it's painful. It can be painful, but if you understand the process and what his purpose is, and that he loves you with an eternal love, then you understand it. Then it's the peace that surpasses all understanding, the rest, all those different things, even through this painful process.
I think it's easy to think that you failed if you don't have it in a week, and you beat yourself up because I'm a Christian now, I should be this better person.
I think we have a danger of fast food nation, microwave, 30 seconds and you got a meal. You know, go up and order at McDonald's and you got a meal in a minute. We want things immediate. And that's where everything, and I was talking to Mike this week about some things. You know, I've had some things going on for 5 years. Lord keeps putting something on my heart and it keeps going. And I'm thinking, 5 years? You know, then I put it in perspective of, how about Noah? How many times did they go up to him? What you doing there, fella? How long has it been? How many years did it take? You think there was more than a time that he goes, Lord, are you sure about this? You know, we haven't seen rain in a little while here, and I'm building this honking thing. 100 years. What about Abraham and the promise of his seed? You know, all these things, it can take a very long period of time. But understanding it's his time frame, and he's accomplishing his purposes. So again, I just the thought about a painful process. So you think that God may be against you, but it's just the opposite. Everything he takes us through is for our spiritual growth. So when you go through that process, having that mindset that it's for our spiritual growth. So Romans 8:28-29, all things, the operative word, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the goal. That's the process. To be conformed to the image of his Son. And again, all things. When something happens and you go, oh, wow, was that not what he planned? You lost your job. Oh, did he miss that? This job interview coming up. Whether you get it or not, is it unnoticed by him? Did he allow that? Either yes or no? All things. And then you understand it. You can have a peace because all things. So, again, I go back to those verses again that he's in control of all things. That gives me great peace and the joy, the fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, and those things because you understand he's in control. If we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18 also, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything give thanks. Well, last Friday was a tough day. You know, it just didn't work out the way I wanted it. Oh, in everything give thanks. Through this painful process, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32-33. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For all things are for your sake. So again, just this process, it's painful. It may be painful, but understanding that it's His process and His purpose is to conform you to the image of Christ. And so, again, the point being is our position of acceptance. He's exposing that to show you, you are accepted in Christ. Your position is in Christ. Not in yourself or your Adamic man, how beautiful it looks like. And we read those verses, how beautiful it really is. Ugly. It's your position in Christ. That's where acceptance is. And that will never, ever, ever change. That's where I get you the peace and all the joy and the fruit of the Spirit is. So, all right, let's go on to 6. How can a defeated, depressed, self-centered Christian enjoy fellowship with the Father or be at peace with Him?
Let me answer. I call that question.
Okay.
Well, that I just wrote this question. That we're learning to take our position in the Lord Jesus and thereby to abide in Him as our acceptance. We grow to expect less and less from ourselves and more from Him. And I think one of the things that I'm just learning is how to forgive myself. You know,
The person of yourself, not the old Adamic one. You're not giving any...
No. Right. Myself. My spiritual, my...
The person position. Of you. The person of Wanda.
Yes. To forgive myself when I hurt somebody's feelings or, you know. And it's wonderful. It's such... I think I begin to understand what maybe the rest of you already understand. And that's how peaceful it can be, that you do something wrong and you ask the person to forgive you, or you say that you're sorry. But then I turn it in on myself. I say, how could you do that? How could you say that?
A couple things on there too. You know, let's go to the question. How can a defeated, depressed, self-centered Christian enjoy fellowship with the Father? They can't. But you're not defeated. You're looking at who you are in Christ.
Right.
So the defeated.
But I was thinking of my old.
and you can't enjoy the fellowship when you're looking at the old Adamic man, and not your position of acceptance in Christ. That's where you get it, is knowing your position. You are positioned in Christ, and that's where your acceptance is. And that's really, you know, you don't have to look. Last week we talked a lot about people looking at other people and other things. The focus is completely wrong. The focus is on Christ. That's where the focus is, and that's where you have your position of acceptance, right. Is understanding who you are in Christ, and that He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's positioned at the throne and in us.
But that is the old man. But it does say the Christian. So a defeated, depressed, self-centered Christian.
Yeah. So the point is, where's the focus? When you're a believer, but I'm focusing on myself, my depression, my this, my that.
Well, yeah, and
where's my focus?
And I've been through that. Yes, it's on me.
And how much peace do you have looking back at all that?
None.
That's key. When your focus is on Christ and your position in Christ, mm-hmm. all those other things are not in focus. The focus is on Christ. Once your focus is on Christ, then the fellowship, all those things become, you know, a part of you or manifested in you. And then the fruit of the Spirit is manifest. Okay.
Well, I was just thinking of where I had been, and then I'm very grateful.
Yeah. Well, it's because you're understanding who you are in Christ.
Right.
And that's the beautiful position.
Yeah. I was thinking of that. I think it's from Miles. Isn't he the one who said to be disappointed in yourself is to have trusted in yourself?
Yeah. What? Exactly. Yeah.
That comes to mind with me.
Now, what was that?
Go ahead and repeat.
He said to be disappointed in yourself is to have trusted in yourself.
Is to what?
Have trusted in yourself.
Oh, well, sure.
See, again, that's it. But where's your focus?
Yeah.
And that's the key. Right. That's why they had a defeated self, depressed, self-centered. I'm looking at me. No, my focus is on Christ.
Right.
That's our position. So, I said, look at Galatians 2, 20 and 21. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, or my self-efforts, then Christ died needlessly. Wow, that puts it in perspective. If we're trying to do it on our own, where does that put Christ and his work? It's needless. We didn't need him. We can do it ourselves. Totally wrong focus. Okay, 7. What is one of the foremost benefits of resting in our position of acceptance?
Peace.
Peace with God and self. Interesting.
You don't have to depend on yourself.
Yeah.
To be okay.
Yeah, the focus is off self. That's the key. And I think that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. Again, the peace, joy, rest, and all those things is because I'm looking at Christ, and that's who I am. And that's where I get my peace. This whole thing is on acceptance. That's where I'm accepted. That's where God sees me in the Son.
And we have the assurance that God is for us.
Who's against us? If God's for us, who's against us? We're going to get to that on one of the last questions. A little bit on that. We'll give a little bit to that. Let me.
Courtney?
Yeah.
One area of the work of the Holy Spirit in us that is included in his fruit, and that is that he is controlling self. The last mentioned one there is temperance.
Yeah, or self-control. Self-control.
But it isn't our self-control.
Yeah.
It's his control.
Yeah. Go ahead.
When he talks about self there, what does he mean?
Yeah. I was going to get to that. What does he mean by self?
Is he talking about my old sin nature that he's controlling?
No. This is who we are in Christ.
Yeah.
And who we are in Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's
not who we were in Adam. But the point of that is that there is an adjustment to what is really real, is who we really are.
I think the self-control there is now in Christ. That is the self. And the control is if we are yielding to the Spirit or yielding to the flesh. We're yielding to the Spirit, we have self-control in who we are in Christ. That's the one that will be manifested.
Do we have that, or does God have that?
The Holy Spirit is the one, that's the fruit of the Spirit. So that's the Spirit's job.
Right. If we're looking at that.
Yeah, but it's us to yield to it. By faith.
The question is this self-control that we have, or is it self-control that God has? Is that right? Where you're going with that?
Well, there are two things there. One is when you're talking about self, are you talking about the old man, the capacity, the sin nature to sin in me, which is referred to as self? Or are you referring to the new man in Christ, that identity? And so the Spirit of God, I think, is in charge of implementing the control of me, is maybe the way to say it.
the me. I think his question is, what is the me?
What is me? A new man in Christ.
Right. That, and that's I think, you know, the self-control is the control of the new, just the Galatians 2:20. It's no longer that I live, but Christ lives in me. That's the control, you know, the self-control is who I am in Christ. If I'm yielding to the Spirit and understanding these truths and believing Him, there is a self, the self-control. It's the, it, who's going to be manifested when the fruit of the Spirit manifests that self-control? The old man or the new man? New man. Okay?
Well, if you... if you forgive yourself, who are you forgiving?
Yourself isn't forgiven.
Yeah.
God didn't forgive yourself. God didn't forgive yourself.
But He wants us to forgive ourselves.
No.
He has paid all of those things. Has He paid for on the cross? Every one of those things?
It's not a paid for thing. It's Romans 8:3 that what this law could not do because it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sin and for sin. What did He do? He condemned sin in the flesh. Your old man and my old man's condemned. It's not forgiven. It's condemned. And that's why we don't want to mess with it. It's condemned. The new man in Christ has no need to forgive himself.
Right.
So is there a situation for a believer where they can experientially be... is there a place for the new believer to experience forgiveness in a conditional sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be the closest thing to what she's talking about.
Right.
But you might touch on that.
Yeah, you know, and I guess the thing is, again, when it's self-oriented or looking at the old self, that's done away with. The Romans 6, it's gone. Now, that's almost, you know, the crux of what this lesson is about, our acceptance in Him. That's what we're focused on, our position of acceptance in Him. And does that require forgiveness or require any of that? That whatever you've done or whatever, does that change your position of acceptance?
No, but. That's right.
No, but.
I don't know how to think about that because
Okay, no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I don't think you're on the wrong path. I mean, it's maybe just some terminology. But we talk about catching up to who we are in Christ, that we possess this new man. And the Holy Spirit's role is to conform and transform. So we're experiencing change.
Spiritual growth.
Like, to use that term, our essential identity, who we are, who God made us uniquely to be, is catching up to who we already are in Christ. And that process is a process of growth and learning. And so when you express that you've learned to forgive yourself, it may be more accurate to say, you're now catching up to the forgiveness that you already possess in Christ. And that's a new learning for her. And that potentially gives her... she's being conformed to who she is in Christ with forgiveness. And so there's a conditional catching up to who she is in Christ that can sometimes be a very experiential, freeing thing to recognize. And I think that's... Would you guys agree that that's an accurate way of thinking about it?
And there is a forgiveness because that's... When we agree with God, He forgives us.
That's 1 John 1:9.
What if you don't?
Well, I was thinking that, you know, as you start to understand your position in Christ and the Spirit starts to show that to you, when the self manifests itself, rather than you being devastated,
right,
you're like, holy cow, Lord's right.
What
He's already said about me and Adam is, yeah, it's just confirmation that He's exactly right about that.
And it's the, you know, when that happens, it is.
It's a holy cow. Man.
That's not who I am.
Yeah.
As you focus on who you are in Christ, this process becomes, oh, that's not who I am. I am in Christ. Am I acting as who I am in Christ? And that's really where, you know, it's, you know, I go back to what I thank Mike for. Is to know Him. as you know Him, that's who you are. And it, as you understand that, it becomes, I don't know, the focus is on Christ.
Fine, but you do have relationships with other people, yep. And they don't understand how you've reached this understanding. They want you to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I don't care. That's what I believe.
You know what? We mentioned this the week too. And I've said this, you may have real trouble with this, is you choose to be offended. So that person chooses to be offended.
I did something offensive.
They chose to be offended. And that's really a key.
It's going to take me a while eventually.
It's really tough, but that I personally, if you that we're getting off track, but they choose to be offended. You can do anything to me. It's my choice to be offended. You can do anything to me. It's my choice to be offended. So
the question there is, if someone offends you, who are they offending? The old man or the new man?
Yeah.
And can you offend the new man? Is he offendable? Can you?
Well, I still have a lot.
Isn't that a legitimate question?
We all have a lot to go, Wanda. Don't even. I mean, it's all of us are in this growing process. Don't feel you're the only one on this trek. We are all on this trek. There's not a person in here who isn't going through different things in this growth process. There's not a person in here who says I'm there. They're not. So don't discount that. This is. You know, this is just what we're talking about, all things. He's using all this to show you these things. That's the key. That's what I try and get at. He's all things, everything, in all those things. He's showing this. And sometimes it's painful. You know, and I think you're focusing somewhat on what the world and these things. Like, you know, I can do, the old man has been crucified and all the sins forever for everybody, here, there, every has been paid for, by Christ on the cross. Now, my personal is I've been co-crucified with Him. And I can go out and shoot somebody, and that sin has been forgiven, or, you know, been taken care of. It's been taken care of on the cross. But there could be consequences for me. I.e., I'm arrested and thrown in jail or whatever. So we're looking at worldly consequences. And I think that's kind of your focus.
Okay, you offend a friend or now this. This was, I'm just talking about what you could offend a friend. You can lose a friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can do something that will mend that.
Yeah.
You don't just say, well, I know where I stand in my position with God, and I know that all sins are forgiven, but we're still living in condition.
Right. Right, and again, we're trying to get it. That's a focus of kind of a worldly and response, and you know, kind of there's still consequences in this conditional life that we live. But again, the focus is on Christ. If that's your focus, it'll be manifest who you are in Christ and how you respond. That's what you're going through in the learning process: is how do I respond in Christ? So, we're good? All right. One of the foremost benefits of resting our position of acceptance one of the foremost benefits of resting our position of acceptance is the deep and undying assurance that God is for us. And if you look at Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And Romans 8:1-31, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Okay? So, establishing our position, we become increasingly aware of our acceptance in Him and are more free to fellowship with our Father. In this blessed communion, we grow, becoming more manifestly conformed to his image. Okay, and if we look at Galatians 4, 3 through 7. Here's one, the intimacy and the union that we have with him and our position in him. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Again, acceptance is because we've been placed into him. And we are adopted as sons. We can say, Abba, Father, Daddy. That's the amount of acceptance. In our position of acceptance, we can say, Daddy. When we go before the Father, we can say, Daddy. And it's because of his positioning us in his Son, we are now adopted as sons, and we can cry out, Daddy.
Just a thought that there's a parallel here to how God has revealed himself in so many different ways by creating music that has harmony. And when we enter in, there's an analogy here. The work of the Holy Spirit harmonizes us with God. And when we're in that mode of resonance or harmony, then there's that love, joy, peace, and temperance, and so forth. That is the actual life of Christ being revealed. And so when you see or hear or smell a Christian, you resonate with that because the Holy Spirit harmonizes you with that.
Well, we're family.
I know. Isn't that a wonderful analogy? I'd share that thought that our acceptance is part of that. That Christ is accepted by God. That all of his work was so complete that it is a harmonious relationship that we're entering into, made possible by that acceptance.
You know, the Colossians 3, where we are in Christ, in God. Mm-hmm. We're at the right hand of God. You think there's a better position?
Is it impossible to ignore? I mean, you really have to suppress that.
the old man is very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's the Holy Spirit's job to convince us otherwise, mm-hmm. of who we are in Christ. The old man is trying to convince us otherwise. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince us of our position in Christ. Right. It's his job. Okay. I also had Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, that's a powerful one in all these things. There's nothing that will separate us from his love. So, do any of these verses tell us that God doesn't accept us in our position in Christ? No. Okay, 8. If you were on trial before God, who would make up your defense team?
The defense is Jesus, but the judge is also Jesus.
The Holy Spirit and Jesus.
Any other thoughts?
Well, Christ is our advocate.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is our advocate.
Right. We have two advocates. We have one at the throne and one within. Satan is the prosecutor, and the Holy Spirit is within, and Christ is where? At the right hand, at the throne. Who's the judge? Father. I think when Mike made this question up, I think he was watching Law and Order or something, I don't know. Yeah. needed to have a law thing in here or something, I don't know. So Satan would be the prosecutor, and then we have an advocate on the throne, and we have an advocate within. The Holy Spirit, and the judge is ultimately Father. What do you think your chances are at this defense?
Well,
pretty good. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. How does Romans 3:26 fit in with my reconciliation and acceptance with God? Romans 3:26 says, "For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." How does that fit in with my reconciliation and acceptance with God?
Well, I found this interesting. God passed over our sins to demonstrate his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus.
Yeah, that's the verse.
I know. I never...
Yeah. Never understood the...
Never understood that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool when you think about the reconciliation and the acceptance, how this fits in. Our Father has reconciled us to himself in a way that enables him to be consistent with himself, being both just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The just and the justifier.
And he declared us, right?
Yeah, he declared us. All right. We can finish this up with the true or false. As we become more fully established in our position, we are increasingly unwilling to reject self.
False.
Any truths out there? Come on, somebody stand. No, false. In learning to take our position in the Lord Jesus and thereby to abide in him as our acceptance, we grow to expect less and less from ourselves and more from him.
True.
The believer who is not abiding by faith in the acceptable one, but who is relying upon his personal condition for acceptance, is somewhat handicapped in the matter of fellowship, growth, and service.
True. It's false.
How many, do we have any others in there? Who's true? Come on. False? Oh, you are all chickens. I'm not going to name you on the tape, so you... Yeah. Bob, that was you. No.
Hopelessly handicapped.
can't be done. So it, the trick part of it is somewhat handicapped. Totally. 100%. Can't do it.
Well, it's being made more and more corrupt every day.
What's that?
The sin nature just gets worse and worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Who's not abiding by faith in the acceptable one? But you're not doing that. You're not just sort of handicapped. You're completely handicapped, if that's your reliance.
Oh, I see.
See, that's the trick. So that's the trick.
Another, and we know who.
Yeah. That's right. I'm clean on this. I'm clean.
Look out there, Frank. You're getting
disappointed. Oh, no.
The class has officially gotten out of hand now.
Forgive me, Wanda.
Wanda, what I wanted to say is there was a guy, Tom Malloy, that used to be part of this church.
I've heard about him.
But you couldn't offend him. So I think because there's the world we live in, and then there's the body of Christ who are typically less offended. Like, he might have a friend who doesn't know Jesus at all. He could be offended just like...
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to just walk away and say, well, you know, I know my position. And I know that...
Yeah.
I don't... Well, I have something to work on.
But believers are always going to be offended by the word. Or, I mean, non-believers. Excuse me. Non-believers are going to be offended by the word. Christ was rejected by the world. Yeah.
Believers are offended too. If their deeds are evil, they don't want to be revealed by the light, the truth. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If they don't really understand that.
Yeah.
If they're living under the law system, then it's totally misunderstood.
Right? Yeah.
That's why Schaefer, he wrote so much about grace.
Yeah.
Because in his day, that was the... Well, it still is today, but... He was so convinced that people needed to learn about grace.
Yeah. It's not of yourselves, not of...
Paul, in his letters, said, everybody's forsaken me.
Yeah.
I mean, even in his lifetime, people, out of jealousy...
Well, I look at... just read Romans 7 and what he goes through. I mean, he's doing the things that he doesn't want to do. What were those? I don't know. But
where's the greatest offense? Isn't it by Christians against Christians sometimes? I mean...
I don't know if I can say the greatest offense, but...
I'm saying that that's what hurts the most, though. Mm-hmm. It's when we're misunderstood by those who love the Lord along with us. Mm-hmm. And we have to be patient.
I go back to mine, too, that in all things, he's using all those circumstances to grow either both of you or whoever in that process. He's always working. The Holy Spirit is always working on it. Even between believers or any of them, he's always working. He doesn't get a day off. It's always the Holy Spirit. So, and it's his job to do that. Ours is just to believe it. Okay. JD will be next week with lesson 8.
Where is that?
Do we have an 8 back there? Yeah, there are 8 back there. And then hopefully most of you got them emailed to you. So, all right, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you again just for this time. We thank you again just for our acceptance in Christ. And it's nothing of what we've done. It is the finished work on the cross that gets us all of our positions in acceptance. All these different things we talk about, it's because of Christ and what he has done. And we just rest in that fact. And we thank you for that, that it's not dependent upon us. There was nothing dependent upon us to put us in that position. It was Christ's finished work. And you offered salvation by grace. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for just the principle of grace that we live under right now. And we just thank you for this time, again, just to open up your word. And again, just to see our position of acceptance in Christ, that we've been hid in Christ, in you, and what a marvelous position that is. So we just thank you now for this time. We pray for Vern in the next meeting. Again, just he'll bring us the word and prepare hearts to receive it. We do all these things in Christ's name. Amen.